Slinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all alright, we're all alright. MTG in Quarantine Podcast. Hey, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. Before we get started here, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. Huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you can also pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look amazing. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So go on over to Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Use the affiliate code in the link tree in the episode description. Every purchase helps support the channel and is greatly appreciated. Also, this week, I will be attending Command Fest Anaheim in Anaheim, California. Going to be a featured guest, featured content creator there, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun. So if you are in the area, definitely check that out. Get your tickets now. All right, to the meat of today's episode. So we've basically seen the entire Lord of the Rings set come out here for Magic the Gathering, both the main set, the commander set, and... yeah, all the really, and the Tales of Middle-earth Commander, but yeah. Anyway, I figured it was time for my top five underrated commanders from this set. At first glance, there are so many legendary creatures here that you could just go for days talking about all of these commanders. But obviously, in my own weird fashion, I kind of tend to look past the most popular commanders, the one that people are talking about the most, and I like to find the commanders that really work for the ways that I play Magic the Gathering. So buckle up. These are at least five of my top underrated commanders, if not a top five. I'm not really committed to saying top five necessarily, because there's a lot of really cool commanders out here that are, you know, can kind of be overlooked. But yeah, here are five of my top picks for that spot. So anyway, without further ado, let us try to dive into the world of Middle-earth and talk about some of these really awesome legendaries. And again, I apologize if I don't pronounce these correctly. I never read the books. I just watched the movies, so I'm just going off of my own understanding of how these things are pronounced. Anyway, I'm going to start off with my number one card on this list, or at least, you know, a card on this list, and that is going to be Legolas, Master Archer. Legolas, Master Archer is a 1/4 elf archer costing 1 green-green, has reach. Whenever you cast a spell that targets Legolas, Master Archer put a +1/+1 counter on Legolas. Whenever you cast a spell that targets a creature you don't control, Legolas deals damage equal to his power up to one target creature. So again, this particular card does kind of, I would think, kind of the Zada effect a little bit. Like, you want, or the heroic effect, I suppose I should say, is that you kind of want to target other creatures with your cards. So again, green is known for having your kind of giant growth effect, titanic growth effect, where you're going to be utilizing those cards on your own creatures, combat tricks, you know, ways to be able to give your creatures hexproof, indestructible. There's a ton of those. There's always a common in every set, usually costing 1 green that gives a particular creature hexproof, indestructible, something like Tamiyo's Safekeeping from Neon Dynasty, for instance. And so the fact that Legolas can give itself a +1/+1 counter when you cast a spell that targets it is pretty awesome. Again, if you're going to be casting a few of these, especially if this is your commander, you know, you're probably going to want to keep this card around. So utilizing those Tameo safekeepings or not your heroic interventions, but your targeted heroic interventions are going to boost your commander. And then, you know, green does have things like your Beast Withins or Lignifies, you know, things like that, which you could use to target your opponent's creatures. And then it says Legolas deals damage equal to its power up to one target creature. So if you've used a couple of cards to target Legolas here, you know, again, to protect it or to make it larger, your giant growths again here, you could then utilize what green is really good at, you know, for removal anyway, to target not only one of your opponent's creatures, let's say their commander, but then also hit another one of their big beaters on the field. And as well as having reach is really nice. Obviously, being an archer, this makes a lot of sense flavor-wise. And the ability to be able to block flyers is really nice, especially with a 3-6 or a 4-7, honestly. It'd be nice to have that ability to deal with flyers. So, yes, while this card is kind of constrained to being in mono green, the fact that it can pump itself up as well as also has reach is fairly costed. And yeah, it can pump itself up and can also, you know, take out multiple creatures in even one turn cycle is pretty nice. So that is why I decided to choose that particular card. All right, moving on. Obviously, there's a lot of commanders out here that I'm really not going to get into, a lot of really cool ones that do cool things. So I'm just going to kind of keep going here. Anyway, next one is going to be Radagast the Brown. Again, another mono-green commander, 2/5 Avatar Wizard costing 2 green-green. Says, whenever Radagast the Brown or another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is that creature's mana value. You may reveal a creature card that doesn't share a creature type with the creature you control from among those cards and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So, as soon as I saw this card, it reminded me of Volo, the Simic commander who came out recently. Don't quite remember which set off the top of my head. Which cared about unique creature types. And what I love about Radagast is you get a payoff, a really nice payoff for playing non-creature spells. Playing creature spells, non-token creatures, excuse me. And let's say you drop a, you know, your 6-6 for 6, your Colossal Dreadmaw, right? Not only do you have a 6-6 with Trample, but then you can also look at the top 6 cards of your library and put a free creature into your hand, and then put the rest on the bottom. So not only are you getting creatures, you know, on the field, but you're also basically drawing a card and getting some sort of card selection out of this. Now, if you're playing in mono green, you know, if you're me, you're playing a lot of creatures. So the ability to have some card filtering, some card selection, and in some case, kind of a deferred card draw here is really nice. Obviously, you're not really going to care too much about the 2/5 body, but the fact that this costs 4 mana is really nice. And when it says non-token creature, this can also trigger just on any non-token creature. So even your Llanowar Elves, your Vinehorn Elves can still basically allow you to scry one, if nothing else. And that's what I really like about this card, is there's really no downside to playing this card and having a bunch of different creature types in your deck. Obviously, even if you don't get a creature, you can still kind of mill through your deck a little bit there. Maybe get some lands off the top and move them to the bottom of your library. Kind of use this as a delayed scry effect, I would say. So I think this is a pretty cool card. This is definitely going to be seeing some play coming up here. Obviously, not as much as some of the more popular commanders, but that's why it's on this list, because I think it's kind of cool. And definitely helps you filter through your deck a little bit when you're playing a mono green and hopefully playing a bunch of big stompy creatures. So definitely looking forward to seeing what people are able to do with that particular card. All right, moving on. Third card on this list today is going to be Gandalf White Rider. Gandalf White Rider is a 3/3 Avatar Wizard costing 3 and a white, has vigilance, and here's the really important news for me. Whenever you cast a spell, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn, scry 1. And when Gandalf White Rider dies, you may put it into its owner's library 5th from the top. So I just love everything about this card. Not only is it flavorful with the idea that, you know, it can be returned to its owner's library so it kind of never goes away, but the fact that whenever you cast a spell, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. I love combat tricks. I love mono white. I love Boros, if you've been listening to the podcast. And the ability to play a bunch of super cheap white and red spells on your turn and then be able to give an anthem effect to your whole team and then scry is amazing. Obviously, white has a bunch of super cheap spells that can be cast for 1 or 2 mana and, you know, give your team some sort of buff. I'm thinking of someone like Rally the Wings, which is an instant for 1 and a white, giving all your creatures with flying, untapping all your creatures with flying, and then giving them +2/+2 until end of turn. Or even just the simple Charge, which is a single white for an instant, which gives all your creatures +1/+1 until end of turn. All of a sudden, you cast one of these Gandalf triggers, all of your creatures get an additional +1/+0, and you get to scry one. This is effectively taking mono white and pushing it in the extreme mono white combat direction, and I love it. Obviously, I have way too many decks, you know, a lot of decks I don't play, but if I were to build one of these decks, this is definitely in contention for being that one deck, because I just love having a combat, you know, combat trick on a permanent, honestly. And the ability to get multiple triggers off of this in one turn is amazing. And again, this just says whenever you cast a spell, this doesn't have to be on your turn specifically. So if you are defending, even with Gandalf, 3/3 of Vigilance right there, all of a sudden you have a really solid blocker who can get chonkier over time. So that's why I really love this card. It's going to be totally overlooked because there's a ton of cards before it. But you know what? This sounds exactly like the kind of commander I'd build around. So definitely keep an eye out for that one. All right, fourth card on here, again, kind of going through the list, is going to be Sharky, Tyrant of the Shire. And this is a 2/4 Avatar Rogue, costing 2 in Dimir colors to 2 blue-black. Reads activated abilities of lands your opponents control can't be activated unless they're mana abilities. Sharky, Tyrant of the Shire has all activated abilities of lands your opponents control except mana abilities, and mana of any type can be spent to activate Sharky's abilities. So yeah, this definitely looks like kind of a stacks piece, you know, if we want to be very, very, very literal. But again, this is the kind of card that can shut down your opponent's Maze of Ith, not Valakut, but, you know, just there's a whole bunch of other utility lands, artifact lands, you know, things that are going to have an effect that you can basically steal with this commander. And I'm not usually a huge proponent of stealing your opponent's ability to do actions on their turn, but I'm definitely going to say that this is an interesting commander in the fact that, you know, it doesn't stop your opponents from playing the game. It basically punishes people for playing lands with activated abilities, with, you know, really powerful abilities. But again, what's important is that it still allows them to tap their lands for mana. And that's the thing I really want to harp on here, is that a lot of these kinds of effects typically would deny your opponents of resources. And while this is technically denying your opponents resources, it's also not punishing the players who are playing a lot of basic lands. So it allows them to play the game and allows everyone to play the game. It just gives you a little bit of extra value right there. Obviously, Sharky can be removed, but everything dies to removal, so that's honestly not a very valid argument, is it? I think it's a really cool design, honestly. Kind of trying to think of the best-case scenario. Your floor is that this is going to get killed all the time, but if you're in Dimir colors, you hopefully have ways to be able to protect Sharky. And, you know, maybe you'll be able to get some really cool effects off this. You know, maybe even your Rogue's Passage. Well, all of a sudden, you steal someone's Rogue's Passage, you can swing in and try to take someone out with one of your large creatures. Dimir has a lot of large creatures, a lot of demons, a lot of sea creatures, etc., etc. So maybe you can get some nice value off of that. So definitely a tempo piece here, something that I'm kind of curious to see how people are going to build when the set officially comes out, when they, you know, give it 3 to 6 months and just, you know, see what people do with this card. All right. So I'm definitely down to the fifth one, and I'm at the bottom of the list on EDH Rec right now. And that's usually where cards kind of go to die when they're legendaries. But again, this is kind of usually where I start my searches when I'm building a new commander deck. I love being, the guy who builds the deck that no one else has built, right? Or, the people have to read before you start playing an EDH game. I just love trawling the bottom of these lists to see what kind of value I can get. And the last one I'm going to go over here is Gothmog, Morgul, Lieutenant. Gothmog is a 3/3 human soldier. When Gothmog, Morgul, Lieutenant enters the battlefield, amass Orcs 1. So this is very similar to the amass mechanic from War of the Spark. It says put a +1/+1 counter on an army you control. It's also an orc. If you don't control an army, create a 0/0 black orc army creature token first. And creature tokens you control have death touch. So the important thing to note here is you can actually have amass tokens from War of the Spark, so the zombie army, as well as the orc army here separately, because they're both armies, but that's why it also says amass orcs 1 instead of amass 1. So very different flavor-wise. It is what it is. And yeah, this card is not going to be built very much as a commander because people are going to be seeing this as a card that maybe fills in the 99, but doesn't have the quote unquote power to hang in most tables. And I disagree with that, honestly. Is that as soon as I see this card, I see Vizier the Scorpion, which was a 1/1 zombie wizard out of War of the Spark that had the exact same effect and said zombie tokens you control have death touch. So black loves to make tokens, honestly. And giving all of your creatures death touch, the ability to block very well and attack very well, I think is extremely important here. So the fact that Gothmog comes with an orc army, and then you're able to hopefully build that up with a little bit of extra mass support, or there's a little bit more proliferating black now, and also giving your creature tokens death touch is really nice. So if you create your zombies, obviously not through Field of the Dead because you're mono black, so you're probably not going to do that. But there's a lot of ways to create a lot of zombie tokens, rat tokens, your orc tokens, your zombie army tokens. All of a sudden, if you're able to create a whole bunch of tokens, you have a nice formidable board, and you have a commander who can give them a really, really nice buff. So yeah, I mean, again, this is definitely the kind of commander that people are going to seriously overlook. Right now, there are zero decks on EDH Rec with this particular commander, but I could definitely see intrepid brewers like myself giving this one a go. I think that this would be a very, very easy deck to build on a $25 or $50 budget, because a lot of token producers in mono black are super cheap. Obviously, not the Ophiomancers. But even just your Sedgemoor Witch, honestly, which is a two and a black human wizard, I think, where if you cast instant or sorcery, you create a black and green pest token. So all of a sudden, you basically, if you just cast any sort of instant or sorcery, you get a creature that now is a 1/1 death touch, has the ability to give you life. But 1/1 creature with death touch seems pretty nice. So yeah, I feel like this is definitely a great bargain bin commander. If it's an uncommon, which I can't quite tell here on EDH Rec, but I think it probably is. It might be a nice PDH, Pauper EDH commander as well. So I could definitely see this, even though it's never going to be in the limelight, of the quote unquote meta of this entire set or of the commander format as a whole. I definitely see some niche applications for this particular commander, and this is definitely another one that I could definitely see myself building someday, with the right cards, the right balance. So yeah, there are my at least, five cards I wanted to highlight from the Lord of the Rings main set that I feel could be really awesome commander cards. Do you agree with me? Let me know on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine if you find the happy looking Umag, you found the right place. If you also like to hear any of the previous episodes on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I honestly don't remember all of them, but it's a major podcast outlet. You can probably find my content on there. I'd like to give it this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtgquarantine. Huge round of thank yous again to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J. Rowe for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. And enjoy the Lord of the Rings and Magic the Gathering set.